Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we are right back again with you.
This is me.
We got a little song here now that I'd like to do for you, one that put together about a year and a half ago and recorded. And there's a lot of suffering in this song. We hope you never do have to go through nothing like this. We have to do it quite often, though. Here it is. A little thing called I Got the Love Sick Blues. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye, Lord, I don't know how to do. All I do is sat and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet. Daddy, such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the love sick blues.
Freak, 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 a sex machine. Freak, 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 you pressing me. Freak, 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 you sexy thing. Freak, 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 you sweating me. Ski, 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 all energy. Ski, 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 no testing me. The FCC is stressing me. Think you're me incessantly. Better step back, I'm busting the ground. You are in the background, how does that sound? Setting me the tracks, I'll be putting it down. I stay out of bounds, leave you all spellbound. Flash gonna show you how in the next round. Not slowing down, even for a second. Everything I say is eclectic. I take them beats and wreck them. I ain't no scrap or trap girl. I holler back and pop a gat. Bring it back like that, like a clap like that. Try that again, you will collapse. You ain't ready for the trap attack. You ain't fast like that, you like pass it back. When I flash you back, you a copycat. I'm a class A act and I'm going plat. I'm not a dumb chick.
Good evening.
No, we said it unison that time. Usually it's good evening.
I'm Dean.
And I'm Diana. And we're D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and beyond.
At least this week I'm Dean. Last week I was Diana. Remember, this is a Pride Month or whatever the hell it is.
Right. So thanks again to our listeners. Our ratings have exploded, and we're so grateful for that. So you can check out all of our previous episodes. We had on Diane Sayre last week, who is running against Christian Gildebrand. She was phenomenal. You know, she talks a lot about what goes on in Ukraine and what's going on with the possibility of us getting nuked to death. Move your chair a little closer. And so you can listen to her if you want to listen. It's posted in our event pages, and we're on iHeartRadio, Apple Radio, or Apple Podcast, Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio, of course, our Facebook page. And one of these days when we actually have real time, we're going to make up a website with all of our past episodes, too.
Well, we have a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah. So there's, I had the pleasure.
There's the submarine, and I guess they found pieces of it.
Well, I want to get to the submarine in a minute. First, I want to talk about New York.
Oh, okay.
And I had the pleasure of listening into the assembly emergency session that they had the past 2 days. And that is like sitting on a bed of hot rock nails, listening to them. If you ever listen to one of their sessions, it's kind of like being tasered, like every 45 seconds. These are the people that are pretty much running your life in this state. And there was this one dumb arse. Oh, my God. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but I was texting one of the assemblymen locally that we have here back and forth during the session. And I'm like, she weighs like 350 pounds, and she's still wearing a mask. And this is who's telling me what I need to do with my health? Oh, my God. No wonder he's got PTSD every time he comes back from a session, because just watching them was enough to set you over the edge.
But you know, the N95 masks did work against the Canadian pollution that they sent down to us.
you know, over the past week or two.
Yeah, that they sent down, exactly. But it was a pretty ugly legislative session. And thankfully, there were no vaccine bills that passed this session. We can't say that they won't call another session over the summer. They'd love to do that. They might. But we did get away with that not happening. They did, and the Assembly did vote to pass that they do not do dumping in the Hudson River, although there's some sketchiness going on with that bill. And there's also some Republicans that voted to not have that bill passed. They actually voted yes on doing the dumping into the Hudson River. So they've got some answering to do.
I wonder if there was a bunch of other stuff attached to it, that it wasn't just, you know, that would be the nice thing. If, you know, they have a bill about dumping in the Hudson River, but attached to it isn't a new school in the Bronx. You know, because that it may have been, you know, a bunch of extra spending.
I don't know. I read the bill.
Money for illegals and stuff like that. Because I know they do that in the federal government. And that's why a lot of the conservatives have wanted to have line item veto for the president. So, you know, if you've got a farm bill, it has to do with the farms. It doesn't have to do with, you know, everything else in the world.
Well, I don't know. I looked at that bill and there wasn't too much in there except for that. But so they're going to have some answering to do. And there were even some Republicans that voted for, they have this bill that bypassed all the committees and went straight for the floor Senate vote. And it was a bill where dentists could give a COVID or any vaccine in a public health emergency. Now, why would they have to do that? And, you know, one of our very good friends that's a Republican actually voted for that, which was kind of interesting, I thought, since he's one of the ones that's suing Hoochie for the quarantine camp bill.
Right, right.
Speaking of the quarantine camp bill, we're going to have Bobby Ann Cox on the show again July 20th. She'll be on and she'll be updating us on what's going on with that.
Yeah, she's been vacationing, visiting family up in Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, I was reading her newsletter and they were talking about how at one time there was like 30,000 farms and now it's down to about 7,000. And the big crisis about you know, the people that hate us buying our farmland, because if you control the food, you control the population.
Yeah.
And I think we're the only country in the world that allows foreigners to buy our farmland.
We're also one of the only countries in the world that uses GMOs. In glyphosate and, you know, thousands of chemicals on our food, too.
What, GMO, gay men are offensive?
Yeah, genetically modified. So a couple other things that, you know, they did. There was one that, a bill that didn't pass, but it doesn't really, she could sign it at any time, really, with the way that it was worded, where we could have socialized medicine in New York State. You know, and wouldn't they love to push that, right? Because guess what?
Yeah.
No jabs, no health insurance, just saying.
Right, right.
Anyway, so, you know, it was a week. It was definitely, listening to them was like pure torture. But some of the bills they have, they are just so blatantly stupid. You know, and they spend 15, 20 minutes debating on whether they should change their underwear or not. And I just can't. I can't listen to it for a long time. It's just too much. But a lot of things with the, you know, the Green New Deal is better for the environment. This is better for the environment. Stop it with that crap. They're spraying stuff on us all over the place. And they're worried about, you know, their little Green New Deal and saving the public global from, you know, us burning ourselves up to death and singeing our hair off because we have global warming.
I wonder if the New World Order is going to fine Canada for all the pollution that they've spewed off. Their carbon footprint is out of sight. It's probably, you know, 10 years of the American auto industry and buses and trucks, the pollution that they put out.
You know, I don't even know if those were planned. You know, and of course, my tin foil hat is so big now, I have a tough time fitting through most doorways, and sadly, I earned it because we've been right. And so, and my girlfriend, Catherine, I want to talk about the submarine for a second, because you got to wonder who was on that, a bunch of billionaires. I mean, think about the Titanic. If you tell people that they sunk the Titanic on purpose, they think you are absolutely bonkers. But remember who was on that Titanic when they were trying to get over here to stop the Federal Reserve from being enacted. And all of a sudden they sunk it, or it hit a glacier. Come on. That's like believing that the World Trade Center wasn't set up to. So you just got to do a little bit of research, and people look at you like you got three heads. But when you start seeing things and hearing things, and I mean, when Catherine started telling me stuff, I was like, okay, that's a little far-fetched. Well, no, it's not. You know, and look at how many food plants have burned up. Think about that.
And right? and all the train derailments.
Right.
I think there's been
happened to all those nuclear chemicals on that one big train derailment?
Yeah. Paris have them now.
Is that what they were burning up in the Canadian fires, because it was such a horrendous, rubbery smell? I don't know. So anyway, moving on. We don't know about that submarine, but there's definitely something a little bit fishy about that. Who might have been on that submarine that knew about the NWO? I don't know.
So
more to come. So Hunter Biden. Woo.
Yeah.
Yay, a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
All while they're, getting their adrenochrome and Epstein Island and laptops full of pornography. And what happens to them? Nothing.
Yeah. And, and the bribes, using his influence, when old Joe was the vice president, and the millions of dollars that were given to him, you know, and they continue to go after Trump. You've got all this stuff, the Clintons and the Bidens, right in front of your face, right in your face. And because they're Democrats, nothing happens to them.
It's not even the Democrat-Republican thing. They are way up there on the scale of the who owns the New World Order agenda, and they're a part of it. So it doesn't even have anything to do with them being Democrats. They could be nothing, and they own the world. I mean, that's the bottom line.
You know, and here was Trump, an outsider that wanted to, you know, clean up the swamp, drain the swamp, and they all got afraid. So they've been going after him since, 2015? So 8 years they've been investigating him.
Oh.
They know him better than his proctologist does.
just remember, he was the one that also Operation Warp Speed. So you know how I feel about that. And I'm not for any of them, to be honest. I am for the people are going to be saving the people, and that's going to be, you know, the bottom line. Although I think there are generally some candidates and, you know, people out there that really do care. But unfortunately, like in New York State, on the Republican side, they don't have the poll, because they could sit there and crochet all day in legislation, and then none of them ever even get their bills heard.
Well, you know, New York, California, both of them, the Democrats have all three branches, you know, the two branches, the ledge, and they've got the governorship. They've got super majorities in all of them, so that they can pass whatever they want. You know, if they want to make Donald Duck the state mascot, they can do it.
They might. Maybe he'll be wearing a pride suit.
Yeah.
So some other interesting things that are going on around the world, because I got an email the other day that said, we love to tune into the show in the beginning because you update not just New York State, but you update what's going on, you know, kind of all over the world. And some interesting things that stuck out to me this week were Australia is planning on mass injections of mRNA shots in their livestock, which, you know, they're probably already doing here, but that's what they're going to be doing for us over there. So just in case you didn't have your appointment, you're going to be getting it in your livestock. So all the more reasons you can eat eating organic. Well, Australia is crazy anyway. They really are. They're just crazy. That, you know, Australia used to be on my bucket list of places to go. It's really just no longer. After I saw how they handled COVID, I mean, they were nuts, you know. But so.
But you know, Australia started out as an English penal colony. Same with Sicily. It was a Greek penal colony.
You should have seen the way he looked at me. I looked at him like, okay, and...
Well, that's why they're crazy. They started out all being criminals.
Yeah. So what is going on with all of the massive military equipment being moved all over the place? Several cities and several people are talking about how they've seen, you know, planes and tanks and moving about the U.S. Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think a big, they just, the government bought a bunch of them.
That's what you think?
Yeah.
What, to ship them to Ukraine?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think that they're not bought. They're being moved. They already belong to us. See? So, I don't know. I don't trust it. Of course, I don't really trust any, you know, whatever like that. So. What else? What else this week? What you got?
Let's see. John Durham. Heads will roll with the FBI. That's the Durham report about Trump.
Oh.
And I guess he's going to say that the FBI, you know, the FBI has been politicized since the Herbert Hoover days. I mean, it is, it's not a good organization. Oh,
no.
Who's that knocking the door?
Knocking at what door?
Your front door.
No one.
There's a black helicopter flying around.
Oh. Nerd. Nerd. So, a little interesting bit of information that somebody sent me about the submarine while we were just sitting here. I guess OceanGate, who are the people that own this or patent this or whatever, they released a statement saying that they believe the passengers on board the Titanic sub had been sadly lost. Well, you think they had like an hour's worth of oxygen left, like yesterday? They might be.
No,
but,
today.
Well, whatever it was. But there was a Simpson episode. You know, I don't know if you ever watched The Simpsons, but everything that The Simpsons has ever had kind of correlates with events that have happened.
I've read that they were precursors. You know, they'd have something on the symptoms, Simpsons, everybody would laugh, and then a couple of years later it would come true.
So I guess they have one. The Simpsons predicted the Titanic submarine situation and that it would completely run out of oxygen. Interesting stuff. Now, where did you see that thing? Oh, that was on Mary's post. I got to find that. Because about what she said, you know, with the submarine. Hold on, and then I have the other guys that are coming on the show today signed in on the switchboard or what?
Yeah, they're signed in.
All of them are.
Well,
are we getting ready
see.
For them. Go back and look. Okay, so we got Michael and
our guests are there.
Michael, okay,
right there, and then whoever this is, they have their hand up too.
990. Okay. Is Michael on?
Yep.
Michael.
Yep. 574.
Oh, so Michael and then 990 is?
The 574.
Is that Val?
I don't know who 990 is, but the 574 is Dan and Mike.
Oh, that's right. They're together. I just want to wrap the submarine stuff up, and then I'll get off the subway here. But said that David D. Rothschild, entrepreneur and environmentalist, joins OceanGate and Company Board of Directors.
OceanGate, it sounds like, you know, Watergate or...
Yeah, well, that's the name, but you know who the Rothschilds are. Obviously,
right.
They pretty much own everything going back, you know, 100 years here.
Right.
So that's some interesting stuff. So there's definitely more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
As always, you know, my tinfoil hat, like I said, is... Definitely getting some pieces of tin on it lately.
So we'll move on since it's 10 to 8.
Yeah, I think
and
we've covered everything that we need to cover in New York. So,
yep.
So we, you know, for most of our listeners know that we live in Western New York. For those of you that don't, maybe that are listening throughout the country, Western New York, there's a little island called Grand Island, and it sits between Niagara County and it's in Erie County, but it's right at the tip of Niagara County. And it's about 6 miles wide.
8 miles wide.
I thought it was six.
and on the west side of it is Canada. So
all right. So anyway, and you got to go over these really steep bridges to get to it, and there's these two. Oh, you go ahead. You tell.
Yeah, there are these two guys, friends of mine, and one of them is running for supervisor, and the other one is running for town council. Truly conservative. I've got their opposition's mailer that I got in the mail today right in front of me, and the opposition, they lie, but I didn't think they were that good of politicians to tell outright lies. But now, you guys need to remember, anybody that I unmute, there's about a two-second delay. So, Mike, Dan, are you guys there?
We are here. We're here.
Right.
Okay.
Welcome
all
to
right.
the show. Yeah, like Dean said, it's because it's live radio, there's a slight delay when we talk. We go to commercial at 8 o'clock and 8:30, so you guys will just have to hang on the line while we do that to pay the sponsors. So, Michael, why don't you just, we have about 5 minutes before we have to go to our first commercial. So can you just give us a little synopsis about who you are, what you do, and what you're running for?
Sure. So I am currently employed at Thermo Fisher. I'm a senior program manager. I have project managers that report to me from Grand Island as well as in Maryland and dotted line in China. We do things like cell line development and improved protein titers for pharmaceutical drugs and things of that nature. So that's what I do for a living. Been there for going on 36 years, so for quite a while. And I am currently also working on my eighth year as a councilman for the town of Grand Island, and obviously I'm running for town supervisor. And just real quick, you know, in terms of my record as a councilman, my record, I think, has, you know, I challenge the status quo. I ask a lot of questions about spending, trying to constrain spending. I'm not a yes vote 100% of the time like my opponent, Marston, is. Similarly, Tom DeGatti, 100% votes, has never really opposed spending, supported overriding the tax cap. It's really not fiscally conservative. We're in a situation in our town where, you know, spending can be addictive. And you got a lot of folks within the town, you know, town government or government by itself is by its nature pushes to grow itself, increase spending. And if you don't constrain it, if you don't rein it in, it will grow and you will have to override the tax cap and increase property taxes. And that's basically what I'm all about is being fiscally conservative.
Okay. So, good. We'll get more into more of what's on your resume and questions after the first commercial break. Now,
Dan.
Yeah, Dan, you're up.
How you doing? I am a retired veteran. I just served 38 years in the military. I did 4 years in the Navy, 12 years in the Army, and the balance in the Air National Guard up at the 107th. I served as a councilman in Lewiston for 4 years, a deputy supervisor for two. I was on the zoning board for 8 years, and I, like Mike, am also very conservative and always believe there's a way to hold the line on taxes. May come with some pain, but you know what? It's worse to cause pain in your constituents than it is to cause pain on the bureaucracy of government. That's me, in a nutshell.
Great answer. Great answer. Thank you for your service. My dad, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. And my grandfather is buried with my grandmother at Arlington. He served in World War II in Korean. Our family actually funded the Korean Memorial. So, and he was a major in the Army. So thanks for your service.
Thank them as well.
So I've got their latest, your opposition's latest mailer here. It says a safer, stronger, more affordable Grand Island. Now, stronger, you know, what are they going to give us free gym memberships? So, Dan, you'd like that. You know, I was telling Diana that your arms are as big as my thighs, and my thighs aren't like, I don't have bird legs. You know, more affordable. This is coming out of the mouths of guys that have increased taxes as much as they possibly can without people, you know, running up and strangling them. Protect fiscal responsibility. Are they going to be handing out guns when it's budget time to protect the fiscal responsibility? I don't know.
Yeah, let me just comment on being fiscally responsible, if I can, Dean. Being fiscally responsible means if you have a budget, you follow it. You don't exceed it consistently week after week, month after month, to the point where you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars above what your budget is to do. That's what we are doing. That's the type of thing that I try and reinforce is we need to follow our budget and stay within its constraints. We are, our town government has a spending problem.
When we come back from the first commercial, I want to hear about some of the things that they've actually spent their money on. So, you guys just have to hang tight while you listen to some of the really quirky commercials that our sponsors make up. So D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Paul, where is your letter of recommendation?
Pete, the Corinthians heart on my letter.
Paul, that is utter bull malarkey. Daniel 11:32-36 warned us of the one who will deceive with flatteries, saying that we are free from the law. There is a freedomized... Thank you everyone for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into a store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, "I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport." Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. He said that everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, "When was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period? Whenever someone gets broke, they go broke." I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have to close their business because no one wants to work for them. So I asked him, "Why would someone want to work for you if you make them wear a scam all day and they need to get a gene therapy to come in the building?" He said he can make employees even take a microchip. I told him, "Well, good luck getting your unemployment." He said, "I don't want to die from getting Rona." I told him, "Don't worry, you will die from the Rona gene therapy." What a rude. You really have to be a stupid.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hi.
Okay, we are back.
We're back. So, Michael, tell us how they are frivolously spending your money in
Great
Island.
Our money.
Well, let me just kind of back up just in terms of some. So in terms of, we've a number of times there's been several incidences this year. One is in the case of buying a number of copiers, tens of thousands of dollars for the town. It was communicated that 5 different models of copiers suddenly were no longer able to be all of a sudden just days before, just days before an election, suddenly we have to do an emergency purchase of a whole bunch of copiers because 5 different models suddenly became obsolete and could no longer be serviced. Copiers that for the last year have been basically running just fine. And it just so happens it was an influential person that the copiers were being purchased from. So and it was not budgeted. I pushed back and said, why have a budget if you're not going to follow it? If you're going to exceed the budget, why even create a budget? Why not just spend freely like these guys are doing?
Right.
I pushed back. I was totally going to lose the vote 4-1 because I was going to oppose it. So then I suggested we put it out to bid so that that would remove any appearance of any favoritism relative to not you know, to favoring the person who we're purchasing from, and that as well was shot down. So I did end up voting 4-1. You know, I lost that vote basically. And you know, there's been a number of cases where I pushed back and challenged, you know, light poles that we took down. 16 per pole just to remove a light pole, and I tried to stop that from occurring. Once again, not budgeted. A consultant that we hired that was not in the budget, and it was for a particular department that was already overstaffed, which I pushed back on, and it was a nice to have, not a need to have. And we need to question, I mean, we overrode the tax cap. We increased by more than double the property tax increase this past year. We hit the accelerator. And to be clear, when you increase taxes above the tax cap, you're accelerating not only tax increases but spending. And we're Republican, 100% Republican town board that's not being fiscally conservative and not being fiscally responsible to our taxpayers, who many of which are living paycheck to paycheck. We need to respect the fact that there's a number of seniors that literally are on the verge of not being able to stay in their homes with inflation and everything else going on. And we're making no effort to cut spending. In fact, we just added another employee in our rec department. In the last 4 years, we've gone from 3 to 6 full-time employees. Full-time employees in a rec department that from October 1st to May 1st, 7 months out of the year, there's not a heck of a lot of work to be done in the rec department. I mean, they mow the lawns. There's a lot during the summer, tremendous amount, where part-time seasonal folks are hired. You should not be overstaffing full-time, you should be relying on part-time seasonal folks for that department. And once you hire a union person, it's very difficult. I mean, you don't want to lay people off, number one. That's something we should always avoid. And if we are hitting financial straits or challenges, which we will in the future, your flexibility, you have to rehire part-time seasonal folks every year. So there would be no layoffs. It's just whether you hire 23 part-timers, which is how many we are hiring in the rec department now, or, you know, 20 instead to try and reduce costs. So that's just a quick rundown, but this is a pattern that has existed for a number of years. We need to rein in spending. We need more people like myself that are saying, okay, you want to do what? Why? Where's the business case that I asked for a business case? The business case for that hire from October 1st to May 1st, I asked a number of times. It was Councilman Degatti that was pushing this, and I never received the business case for why we needed that employee for that 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that, you know, if I hire where I work, I have to justify the living hell out of it. And that's not the case with our current town government. We have a spending problem. We have a spending addiction. We need to start recognizing that we have a problem. And that's the only way in which we're going to start to rein in the spending and be more responsible to our taxpayers.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the seniors, too. We had on another town committee that's not too far from you a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, they had the same concern. I mean, one day sooner than later, we will be seniors. So that would be a good thing to address. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we're going to live in a cardboard box.
There's young folks as well that literally, they're deciding, can I afford to buy this house? Can I not? And if property taxes, we are one of the highest property tax states in the country. I mean, second only to California. We are renters in our own home. We need to recognize that.
Yep.
Win Cuomo, who I never really preferred as a governor, established this 2% tax cap so that spending didn't, or property taxes and spending didn't increase by greater than, you know, 2% plus some correction factors. The thing he said was, I am introducing this so that municipalities, whether it's your schools, your towns, or your county, cut spending first before they propose exceeding the tax cap. What did we just do this past November? I proposed spending cuts, very common sense ones that would have had no impact on our taxpayers, just, you know, some impacts internally as far as having to make some adjustments, but our services still would have been good. And the resistance and the rebellion that I received, they never proposed one spending cut. They refused to consider mine, and they jumped right to exceeding the tax cap, not following Cuomo's direction to cut spending first. We did not cut spending, and we exceeded the tax cap. And what's worse, now the budget that exceeded the tax cap, they're not even following that, so they're exceeding that budget. They're exceeding the spending on that, and well over $100,000 already. And just to put that in perspective, we have an $11 million property tax. So, I mean, actually, and I'm going to tell you right now, we spent well over $100,000 above that budget already.
That's insane. Dan, do you want to pick up on that a little bit, on what Mike was talking about there?
Well, I don't have history in the town. I hopefully have a future in the town. I obviously agree with Mike. I don't believe the tax cap should have been overridden last year. I believe that the first thing you do is you cut to the bone a little bit. In Lewiston, when I was a councilman the first year, the Republicans took back control of the board. The first thing we instituted was a spending freeze. We froze all departments. Everyone had to send their purchase order through the supervisor. Anything over $500 had to be approved by the supervisor. And that's how we reined it in. And in the town of Lewiston, we went from a $9 million budget that was actually in the red. We didn't have enough money to pay that budget. The year I left was a $12 million budget and a $3 million surplus. So if you rein in spending and you watch the books, it will work.
Yeah, you guys are talking about reining in spending. You know, that's the big argument that's going on nationwide with our deficit is we don't have a taxing problem. We've got a spending problem. And I guess, you know, they say all politics is local. And, you know, so it's filtered down to our little town there, too.
At a 5% tax increase, when they have the fund balances that they have, which Mike alluded to, was unnecessary. And what you have to realize, that 5% tax isn't for 1 year. It's forever.
And it's compounded every year going forward.
Yeah, because next year if they added more, it just keeps adding and adding, and that dollar continues to come out of the people's pocket. It's not like it's a one-time tear the Band-Aid off tax. It's a forever tax.
And I think I mentioned earlier, I did have a debate with our prior supervisor for the 2018 budget. If he had prevailed, and once again, and that was a 4-1, I started as a minority. Four people were in support of exceeding the tax cap in 2018. I was able to persuade two council people to come my way. We did not exceed. It would have cost the town property owners an additional $1.2 million since then. And compounded, it's probably closer to $1.3 or $1.4 million. And so, I mean,
and
pushing back and stopping that, our fund balances, we never once had any challenge. And in fact, our fund balances remain flush with cash. And we actually don't. So a fiscally conservative town would have a fund balance policy. We do not have one. West Seneca does have one. They set it at 20% for their general government fund, 20% fund balance. The general fund cannot be used for water or sewer. Our fund balance, so they cannot exceed 20% of their tax levy. Our tax levy is $11 million. Our fund balance in the general fund is between $8 and $9 million, almost three or fourfold greater than what West Seneca has. We should not be sitting on and hoarding that kind of money. And what does that result in? So we just exceeded the tax cap. To add more money in our bank account, we just had a record in this past March. The supervisor reported in his supervisor's report that we had $21 million in the bank. Putting that in perspective, the property tax on the island is $11 million. We had $21 million in the bank in March. We earned $47,000 off of taxpayers' money in profit and from interest on that. That also was a record windfall for the town, all of which is not even forecasted for this year's budget. We didn't forecast that we were going to have between $400,000 and $500,000 in interest from sitting on so much money.
So just so the listeners
know, we are over collecting money. We need to be more fiscally responsible. We need to introduce a fund balance policy, which will rein in spending. What that will do is we're sitting on this large amount of cash while paying, you know, two or three, probably about twofold higher interest rates than what we're collecting on the money that we're sitting on. We need to really look at our town finances. We need to better understand it and understand what's the appropriate fund balances that we should be carrying, which we're carrying millions more than we should be. I can tell you that fairly certainly after benchmarking relative to other towns, and start looking at, there's always two options. One is pay off, you know, some of the debt. And, you know, for every $1 million at 4% interest, that's $40,000 in savings per year. So, I mean, you're talking a pretty substantial savings if you're talking we're sitting on $4, $5, $6 million more than we at this point in time. And to put it in perspective, the override of the tax cap was $289,000.
Which is about three positions, you know, if you look at about $100,000 a year, including benefits, you know, because it's a state job, you know, the town jobs are state jobs. But, you know, for our listeners, the fund balance is how much extra the town has in their savings account. And how do they get this extra money? by overtaxing the citizens. You know, and why do they do it? Because they can. What can you do about it? The only thing you can do is fire the guys that are overtaxing you. They've got no business doing that.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify that just a little bit, Dean, so the fund balance, you should always have a certain amount of fund balance to cover any emergency in that tax year. And, you know, there is no emergency that would cost $5, $6, $7, $8 million like the fund balance we're carrying. In fact, $1 million would be probably excessive. But, you know, for security, I could see 20%, so call it $2.5 million. I mean, we are sitting on a lot more cash just in the general fund. That's not the only – there's six different funds. Just to kind of play on what you said there for a minute, like there are towns like West Seneca, the last 3 years they have not done any property tax levy increase. And that's the type of fiscally conservative, responsible government that we would like to instill in New York or in Grand Island. I'm not saying we're going to say no tax levy increase, but definitely not overriding the tax cap and looking at ways to rein in the spending. And that's something we're doing. And I'll tell you right now, why do they have that fiscally conservative town board now, town supervisor in West Seneca? Four and a half years ago, they overrode the tax cap and they threw out the property and put this new supervisor in, and now they're very proud of the accomplishments that he's achieving over there. And I know, Diane, you're in West Seneca, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary does a fantastic job here. He really does. He's had a balanced budget for 4 years in a row now.
And the way they do it is by attrition. You know, you walk in our town hall, pretty much all the faces I see are within 10 years of retirement. So these people retire,
right,
and you do a workflow study, and you say, okay, do we really, really, really need to replace them? And, you know, if
correct,
the answer is no, you don't replace them. You know, and the town has basically saved $100,000 right there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't,
right,
you know, start out with a rec department and start hiring more full-timers just because they're your friends or family.
So I can say also, just to play on that, Dan and I have talked quite a bit because we're talking about what we would do if we get elected into these positions is, you know, we would not consider layoffs. We would look at attrition. If you look at what's happening in the companies surrounding right here on Grand Island, even on Grand Island, there's layoffs occurring. There's a lot of belt tightening occurring. And it's affecting our residents. There's many residents on Grand Island, some of them are my friends because they're from where I work, that have been laid off. We are not recognizing what's going on. We're actually almost blind to it. Our town is headed in the exact opposite direction. We're exceeding our budget, spending on nice-to-have, not must-have items. There's no pushback except from one person. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. There's a uniform voting. I mean, some of the folks we're opposing here are a sure bet yes every single time when they're proposing these spending. And that's not something you want. You want diversity on your town board. You want diversity of opinion. You want to deliberate. You want to challenge the status quo. You want to ask why. Why do we need to spend that? Can we do something different? Can we wait until the next budget year and put it in the budget so that we're not exceeding our budget? Those discussions
mm-hmm.
are frowned upon.
They're
not encouraging
no.
for that type of diversity is what you want on your town board. You don't want a 5-0 vote every single time.
Right,
yeah,
right.
100%. So we are.
If you
want
a 5-0 vote, vote for Marston and Tagati and Joe.
Yeah.
Who not to vote for? So we're going to take a question from one of our callers for you guys. Area code 716-609. You're live with D&D.
Oh, you'll be live in just a second. Okay, you are live now.
Hello,
Exchange 609. Hi.
Hi. Can we have your first name, please?
Chris.
Chris, okay. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm going to get into a comment and then ask the question. So I have several documents that I obtained through FOIL, which are that of the FBI. And there's several individuals that were on paper here. One was Councilman Marston, Supervisor Whitney, and past Deputy Supervisor Jim Sharp, the volunteer. So there's a lot of, in my opinion, unethical statements, some dishonesty, but there's one that I'd like to read and see if there's any feedback that you can share. Specifically, and I'm going to quote it right from here, Marston's wife had wine with dinner, which exacerbated the effects of the anxiety medication and ultimately led to her being pulled over by the park police. His wife, or the officer, called Marston and explained the situation to Marston. Marston told the officer, if you are going to arrest her, you have to take her to the Tonawanda because I am a council member on Grand Island. That's quoted right out of it. So
that's pretty dirty.
I guess if there's any, it's probably a sensitive topic. I don't know if there's anything you can share, but right off the bat, I question how Mr. Marston knows what policy and procedures are of a police department and of an arrest, where he is going to say you have to take an arrestee to the Tonawanda. In my opinion, he obviously said that and shared that he was a councilman for a political favor. It's no secret that all over our country you have politicians asking for favors and getting jammed up and ultimately in many instances resigning from their positions. So with that, again, I know it's a sensitive topic, but I don't know if there's anything you can share on that.
So I'll admit that I'm a little rattled right now. So let me see. I would say this. I am aware of that situation. It's very serious. It's more than just that incident. It's the attempted cover-up that happened afterwards that really was inappropriate. And I've seen documents. I mean, it's an affidavit. It's something that really happened. I can say one of the reasons I was not endorsed was as a result of that situation. I did come out very strongly in opposition of Marston's reelection, which he was the endorsed candidate for at least one other party, two parties. And that was viewed as disloyal. I don't think it was disloyal. I was really trying to uphold the principles and values of the party, and I didn't get endorsed as a result. But I want to kind of set this whole aside. I'd rather not do this on this radio show. My preference, I've known about this. I do think the public does have a right to know. I've actually been very uncomfortable not sharing it up to this point, and I don't think this is probably the right time to share it. I think probably after the election at some point, the public should probably know about it. I really prefer that the voters, you know, as far as the decision at the voting booth, I'd rather not this be the focus. I really would rather, you know, I would rather the voters, you know, consider me as a candidate and why they would want to vote for me, and whether the other candidate is bringing anything to the table that would drive them to prefer that person over me. I do recognize that, you know, this person will be the commissioner of police, but I'd rather not get into it any further at this point. I'd rather end the conversation at this point. So sorry about that.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, caller, thanks for calling in with those concerns, and thanks for your answer. So we have another caller waiting. Do you guys want to take another question?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so area code 716-425. You're live with D&D.
Hello, this is Carol, and I'd like both candidates to explain your views regarding the balancing of development on the island versus maintaining the quality of life in what we would define as our ex-urban area. Many people choose to live on Grand Island to avoid the more typically suburban congestion in a town such as Amherst.
Well, this is Dan. I'll take the first shot, and then Mike will take the second shot. I just answered a questionnaire like this for another group on Grand Island, and what I said to them was Grand Island is in a transition, it seems like. They want to move into a bedroom community with small business and very light industry. That was very obvious when the warehouse for Amazon was turned down. I think in some ways the town board may have missed an opportunity. When Amazon was turned away, they should have introduced zoning to prohibit buildings under a certain size square footage to be erected and utilized, because it's not just the building, it's the traffic. If you look at the people on Staley Road, they are suffering greatly from the state's ill-conceived closure of West River Parkway that used to handle a ton of traffic from a business on Staley, and now all that traffic is going down two roads that were not designed to handle the traffic and the truck traffic. And I see the same thing happening with this warehouse that's being proposed. It's going to cause another nightmare for the people that are anywhere in the vicinity. So we do have to address zoning, but we have to do it through law. We just can't be against everything. We have to design our town the way our community wants it to be. And it seems to me they are rejecting large business right now.
And just to add to what Dan says, which I agree with most of what he said there, what I would say is our town 50 years ago, our island, was highly one of the – it still is, but for the most part, highly undeveloped. There was a strong push to encourage and incentivize development. I think we're now reaching a point where we're really headed towards an Amherst or Williamsville type situation. And it goes beyond just a large warehouse, which I agree 100% with Dan. I think if the support within the town board exists, we should really be relooking at our zoning and talking about maybe a more broken up campus-like setting with some green space between buildings and, you know, something that's more appropriately sized, that's not going to be, you know, the amount of truck traffic alone for that is a concern. The noise, the pollution, the all the other impacts that could potentially have. I think we need to have a discussion on that and understand where should we fall on that particular issue. But more so than anything, I think, you know, whether you're looking at the planning board or the town board or the entire government really has always leaned in favor of the developer. There's a lot of laws, you know, sound pollution, noise pollution, air pollution, all the zoning, all the, you know, environmental impacts where there's residents' protection within those laws and regulations, you know, traffic, the shoulder of the road, the design of the road, things of that nature that we need to, I think, more better represent the best interests of our residents. And I think we've historically leaned more towards the best interest of the developer. We need to more center our position in approving of these proposed developments so that we're better representing and protecting the best interests of our residents. And it is going to be a culture change for the town, because we are shifting from being way underdeveloped to heading towards, you know, some of our greener spots are being developed.
I'm going to add one thing as Mike closes out here, is that we sent out a flyer with a commitment for Mike and I, and one of our commitments are to have a citizens board for development so we can actually figure out what's best for Grand Island from the citizens. And that board will be very diverse, and it will bring to us what the town is looking for.
Right.
And that's one of our commitments. If you have one of our flyers, you can see it.
And I'm going to add, you know, in terms of Republicans, I've hit hundreds and hundreds of doors, headed for 1,000, on Grand Island through signing of petitions and just the last several weeks knocking on doors. There is a prevailing more than just a minor, but a strong majority of folks that are really concerned that we're overdeveloping the island. A lot of folks really appreciate the solitude and quiet and peacefulness of the island, but I got to just back up and just calibrate everybody as far as, you know, what a town board can and can't do. If it's zoned for a particular use, we can't say no without putting the town at very high risk. And once you say no, it's no. And there's an economic, if it's a taking, if it's zoned for it and we say no and we don't have sufficient cause to do that, it's called a taking, and it can result in a very expensive lawsuit for the town. So it seems like you can just say no, but you really just can't say no. So that's why the environmental law, or sorry, the zoning, we need to make sure it's a fit for what the residents want. So we need to relook at our zoning and change the laws if that's what the best interest of the prevailing, you know, while respecting property rights. We need to, there's a balance that has to be set for what we're proposing. And that's what our objective is to at least take a deep dive, understand what we can and can't do, and, you know, be more proactive about this as opposed to reactive. And it's too late to fix something where once the development's being proposed, it's too late at that point.
I want to chime in one last thing, Dean, on that.
Okay.
For the residents to understand, all the small businesses and light industry are not all bad.
Here in front of the Midnight Mission, a homeless shelter in Los Angeles.
Sorry, that was bad.
I accidentally hit a button on the computer. So.
Okay. So I was saying those businesses pay taxes. And what's beautiful about businesses paying taxes is they aren't sending kids to our schools. We aren't picking up their garbage. And they're really almost zero cost to the community, yet they still pay their tax base. So it isn't all negative to have business, but what size are we looking for on Grand Island? And that's the question that needs to be answered.
Right. And then the other thing is I did a little research and a few years ago, and the median age of the voters on Grand Island was 56 at the time, which means they're done sending their kids to school, still paying a lot of taxes, though. But anyway, it's time for another one of our breaks. We've run over a little bit, so we are going to take another four-minute break, pay the sponsors, and again, D&D. Delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. It's like a drive-through. We'll be back in 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Here in front of the Midnight Mission, a homeless shelter in Los Angeles, Skid Row, where they serve up to 3,000 meals a day and house 250 people a night, we're asking the homeless population in this area, what are you doing to stay safe from the coronavirus? Do you know what the coronavirus is?
No, I don't.
What do you know about the coronavirus?
There's bacteria in the air.
I think it's a combination of tuberculosis, some other stuff.
Do you know what the coronavirus is, ma'am?
Well, it supposedly said that it was some kind of virus discovered by a scientist, kind of doctor or so, and they named it either after him.
It's in the air, in your face. So we have to take care of ourselves. If not, we're going to die.
Have you heard about any homeless hotels? The governor, Gavin Newsom, said that he was providing thousands of beds for the homeless. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Nothing?
Just now hearing it from you.
You're just now hearing it. Okay. Have you heard anything about the homeless hotels?
Yes.
Very good. Why didn't you choose to go into the homeless hotel?
Well, I don't choose because I haven't been there, but I'm here, but I am safe because, you know, I'm doing what the government wants me to do.
Okay. So you feel safe among all these individuals out here?
Yes.
How do you get your news regarding the coronavirus?
I probably listen to it probably on the radio, people walking past with a radio, or I watch the TV.
So you're not getting any cohesive information. You're just kind of word of mouth, and maybe you hear a radio or a TV where they may mention it here or there.
Yeah.
No! Everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you going to sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Okay, we are back. We've got another caller with their hand up, so we are going to unmute them. And 716-990, you are live.
Right. 716-990, you're live. What's your question? Maybe they're just listening in.
We're sending it to us on Morse code.
We're not getting anything. Okay.
Okay.
Come back here.
We got some questions here that have been emailed to us.
Make sure you mute them.
So, let me see. The first one is from Jake on Grand Island. Why did a 100% Republican town board override the tax cap this year?
I'm gonna answer a real short answer, then I'm gonna give Mike because he can give me the long answer. First of all, it wasn't 100%; it was 80% because Mike voted against it.
right.
That's my short.
So my really brief answer is going to be just that there was absolutely no reason to. We are sitting on excess fund balance. We have overcollected taxes. Let me give you an example. In the financial audit that was just released in May, it shows that our forecast for revenue last year was $4 million low. That means we had $4 million more at the end of this past year than we expected. And that's why we ended up with 2.2 just in the general fund. Keep in mind, there's six different funds, so that $4 million is across all the different funds. So we had $2.2 million more than we should have, than we expected at the end of last year in our bank account. Starting this year, so we had $2.2 million more than we needed to have. So just the bottom line is, number one, not one spending cut was proposed by anyone other than me. None of my proposed spending cuts were approved. They jumped right to increasing taxes, and it's just completely unacceptable. It's not fiscally conservative. It's not fiscally responsible to our taxpayers, who are suffering in some cases and at risk of not being able to stay in their house. We should have done better. We need to do better. We need to accurately forecast. We shouldn't be lowballing and under forecasting. The revenue that we forecasted for this year was somewhere right around $6.4 million. Last year we got $11 million in revenue. What's going to cause that kind of a huge drop in our revenue this year? Nothing. We knowingly are way under forecasting our revenue, and that's irresponsible because it sends a false flag saying we need to increase taxes in excess of the 2% tax cap.
To summarize, this is Dan again. There was no need to exceed the tax cap. and 80% of the board did not sharpen their pencil and figure out how to reduce expenditures. And while Mike tried to, I mean, it's really that simple.
I tried to sit down with each one of the board members. Number one, Pete wouldn't. Pete missed the first budget meeting. We're talking about exceeding the tax cap. That was on the table right up front. We knew it. I made sure that I could attend every meeting, and I requested it through email to make sure I could attend because the first meeting was originally scheduled at a time I couldn't make, so it got moved. Pete never said he wasn't going to make the meeting. He never showed up to the meeting, missing in action. We're talking about exceeding the tax cap. That's the first meeting is one of the most important ones. It sets the pace for what we're going to do going forward, whether we're going to – you know, sharpen our pencils and figure out how to not exceed the tax cap. I spent a tremendous amount of hours understanding the numbers. I tried to sit down with each one of the councilmen, one of which keeps saying about all the, you know, not doing your homework. I did my homework. That guy didn't do his homework, Tom DeGatti. He didn't even try to do his homework. He just rubber stamped. He was 100% for overriding the tax cap, passionately fighting for it every single meeting, and it was, you know, I would have expected some level of receptiveness and, you know, at least some consideration for reducing the spending before we exceed the tax cap. That was never on the table, and I really, to this day, can't fathom the logic, the thinking, coming from a majority Republican, 100% theoretically Republican, and conservative board. Well, it's not really Republican and conservative. It's Republican in name only in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, Diana, you want to read this one from Jessica on Grand Island?
Yeah. So the question is, what would you do to improve the town's financial condition?
Yeah. Well, Mike. This is Dan. Number one, first of all, it's weird. When you get elected in November, you get sworn in January, and you start your first budget session in September, October, and it's not even your budget that you're managing your first year in there. It's the other town board's thing. So what I would immediately do is it's what I did in the town of Lewiston. First of all, I go interview every department head and determine where they're – when you actually sit down and talk to people, they'll open up and tell you where the waste is. Spend your first six months figuring out where the waste is, where the problems are, and then that budget session that hits you in September in your first year is when you start enacting the plans to save the taxpayers from a tax.
And just to add, Dan, one of the things we've committed to going forward is the appointment of a supervisors committee looking at finances.
Yeah,
and you know, as an example, we're sitting on millions of dollars in our fund balance. It's excessive. Well, at the same time, earning like 1 or 1.5% interest while paying 4% interest on loans. You know, it feels really good to have that much money because you'll never, and when I say never, we could have tenfold more emergencies than what we had in the last 12 months. And never once have a financial crisis. We're way excessively holding on to way more money than we should be. And it does feel good because we're safe and secure and we're fat and happy because, you know what, sitting on that kind of money, we can buy those 10 copiers with no consequence. We can pay $1,600 per pole for 15 poles to take them down where you just back them with your truck and tip them over. And I'm not saying that that's what you should do. But that we could have done it very safely at a minimal expense. I mean, minimal expense, not $1,600 per pole. We are doing things that aren't responsible to our taxpayers, and we shouldn't be sitting on that kind of funding. And taking some of those funds and paying off loans, we're saving tens of thousands of dollars a year in interest payments.
The other part of the equation is another one of Mike's and our commitment. It's, I think, our number one commitment. Is we're not going to reassess. Well, we're only there for 4 years, so our promise can only be for 4 years. If they elect us, our promise is for the 4 years we're there, we are not going to do a reassessment. It is nothing but painful.
We're going to propose that.
We're going to propose.
We need a third vote to support that.
We have to have a majority vote, but we're going to propose not reassessing. It's nothing but paying for the residents, and it needs. We need Grand Island needs to settle a little bit. Every 4 years, this is a little bit too close. By the time we just settled, the water settles from your last assessment, you're getting hit again. So I think it's time to give the residents a break as well.
And just for justification for that, it's not a baseless thing to do. The company that's currently doing it has a town supervisor that's in charge of that company or that runs that company. It's doing our 100% property reassessment on the island. That supervisor from another town, they've done a reassessment in that town in 38 years. If it's such a great idea, why for the last 8 or 9 years have they not done a reassessment, and why are they not doing it every 4 years? And we're one of a small number of towns that are doing it as frequently as we are relative to all of Erie County. And what is the result of doing it so frequently? First of all, you know, lots of challenges in terms of the assessment. It's creating jobs, yes, for the town. It's cost to the town in terms of managing the challenges and the legal costs and everything else. There's a lot of costs associated with those challenges. That if we're doing it, let's just say if we decide the frequency instead of every 4 years and just upsetting the apple cart every 4 years, 100% reassessment across the island, maybe it's 10 years. You know, we need to step back and say, what is the frequency and what makes the most sense? And it's a very costly, not just for the payment to the assessor, the company that's doing the reassessments, but all the legal fees and everything else that then follow out as a result of those challenges that we'd be saving by not disrupting things every 4 years.
If it's good for the census, it's good for the assessment. Census is every 2 years.
You guys just answered Jason's question. His question was, I heard you're considering suspending the every 4 year property reassessment. Is that true? So, yeah, it sounds like it's true. Okay, here's one from Mary. You want to go ahead and read that one, Diana?
Yeah. So the question is, it seems like nepotism may be a concern in our town. Is it? And is there anything that you could do about it?
So I can say that there's a history, and an incident happened couple of years ago that's bothered me ever since. So back in December of 2021, there was a planned hire for a particular department. The candidate or the person that was going to be hired was basically already settled on, which was a relative within that same department, a relative of someone working in that department. I intervened into that situation. I requested that we expand the number of candidates. It resulted in the original person that someone had whispered in my ear, someone from some department, and told me that what the plan was, and that person relative did not end up getting hired. That was good. So that situation should have been resolved at that point. The new hire should have been brought in, trained, and supported to be successful. We then had several meetings regarding that hire because they were not appropriately onboarded, and it was a very bad situation that was being created to the point where that person ended up being driven out of the town employment. So, yes, the town has had a nepotism problem. There is towns around throughout Western New York and New York State that have nepotism policies where you would not be able to hire a relative into the same department. I think that makes sense. I did propose that a couple weeks ago, did not receive support for that, but I would like us to continue to discuss that and pursue that. And as well, all elected officials, so we would look at the overall, particularly the town board, really should not be hiring family members into the town. But that's something that would be more discussed, basically. You know, if they're qualified.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. In my opinion, I think that's a good idea. There really should be a no
there
hearing.
There are towns that yeah. not allow town board members to have their family members hired into the town.
And, you know, the federal government has an anti-nepotism policy. I know that because my dad worked for NASA for almost 40 years. It would make sense that all levels of government should have the anti-nepotism. You said that this current administration doesn't really want to talk about it, except for you, Mike?
Propose a anti-nepotism policy to have a public hearing, get public input on it. And part of the problem is all people, all residents for Grand Island should have an equal opportunity for jobs. It shouldn't just be the Friends and Family Club. And I do think we need to get better at that.
What was embarrassing at the meeting, Mike articulated the issue with nepotism. He told the story. And if you'd understand Robert's rules and parliamentary procedures, Mike asked for a second so they could have a vote to have a public hearing. He couldn't even get a second to have a vote to have a hearing. All four sat silent, wouldn't even give him a second. That's an embarrassment because you should at least want a second, Mike, for discussion. Let the public have their input. And if the public doesn't want it, then they don't vote on it. But they silence the public from having a public hearing. That's the embarrassing thing. The board, all four, other than Mike, wouldn't even allow it to come to a public hearing.
They wouldn't even allow the discussion within the board members so people could hear why they were opposed to anti-nepotism policy. So by not seconding it, the town board could then deliberate and discuss. And then they could vote it down, but they didn't even allow that discussion to occur.
My input on nepotism, this is Dan again, in Lewiston, my partner, with the guy right next to me, had all of his kids employed at the town. I won't tell you what party association it was, but it wasn't the same as mine. But he had all of his children employed at the town. And I told all my children, you will never work for the town. It's called integrity. It really comes from the person, and you should not want to put yourself in a position, nor should any of our other people that work for the town, in a position that nepotism could actually rear its ugly head and cause a negative impact on the community.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with the government in Grand Island, and I say that town hall is more inbred than deliverance. So
easy.
There's tons of nepotism going on.
Good. Bring that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to the end of the show. So I'm going to have each of you give a quick wrap up. And if somebody was listening into this show, what you would want them to take with you tonight, and like a quick synopsis of why you think they should vote for you. So Mike, you go ahead first.
So, I mean, engaged versus unengaged. I mean, the person I'm running against literally has been unengaged. Ask him for a list of accomplishments. I can give you a list of about 20 or 30. I struggle beyond sales coming up with much more fun. I'm willing to take a position against the majority. And just to be clear, whether I'm a supervisor or a town board member, my vote is 1 out of 5. So whether you're the supervisor or the other four board members, we have equal voting power. So whether you're the supervisor or any of the board members, anyone can oppose any position. And any board member can oppose a motion, so the supervisor has no additional powers, but you want to have that devil's advocate and that discussion and deliberation for the pros and cons. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's four people on this board right now that uniformly vote the same way every single time, and it's not a healthy situation. So I'm focused on cutting spending, containing taxes, paid, as well as not maintaining good quality service.
Okay, great. And Dan, how about you? You have about a minute.
Positive. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
Well, what's that, 1 minute? Okay, listen. First of all, there's an old thing, ask people for your vote. So first, I'm asking everybody for my vote, for their vote, and I like it a bullet vote. That's just being vote for me and not any other guy on the council race, Mike and me. I bring to you 4 years of a councilman's experience and 2 years deputy supervisor. I hit the ground running. I don't need to learn the job. All I need to do is learn the faces and places on Grand Island, and I promise to give you as many hours as needed a week. I'm a retired man, and I believe Mike has also pledged that he has a 40-hour week he'd commit to the town. Yeah. If you have two people that are going to commit 40 hours a week to this town, it's not going to be a part-time job for us, and we're going to rein in taxes, and we're going to help get the town, not so much rein in taxes. We're going to make sure we spend it on the right things, because I don't believe that in a community like Grand Island that – we're necessarily wasting the taxes, but we're overtaxing. We are bringing too much in, as Mike has explained. The fund balance should not be where it is. So I kind of got stumbled there a little bit, but what I'm trying to say is we don't need to tax people if we don't need it. And right now that's what they're doing. The fund balance is way too large. We need to stop that kind of taxation. And give if we give it back to the residents, fine. We'll give it back to them some one way or the other.
Okay, fantastic. So we appreciate you guys being on. And once
thanks
this podcast is up, we'll be sure that we send it to you. D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. You can listen to all our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Apple Radio, Freedomizer Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. So we'll be sure once this is up, we get it over to you. So next week.
A big week.
Next week is a big week. We've got the presidential candidate, Mike Termass, and he is running in the libertarian line. So we're just reading up on him, getting to know him a little bit, and he is going to be on the show next week, and he's going to tell us why he should be on the ballot for president.
Yep. Well, apparently he's gotten enough signatures where he could be on the ballot. But now it's going around from state to state, and you go to his website, and he's pretty far right. A couple of things that I never agreed on with the libertarians is they believed in open borders and they didn't believe in a national defense. I guess they've changed that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he believes in closed borders, and he believes in a national defense. So I like the libertarians for those two reasons a lot more than I used to. But that'll be a good one.
Good. So next week should be an interesting show. So the following week, I think we're going to be off because of the 4th of July week. And then we need a guest for July 13th since we hit a cancellation. So if you guys are interested, email our page. You can find that information on our Facebook page. And following week, we'll have on Bobby and Cox. And then, my God, the summer will be half over.
Yeah.
All right. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Be good to each other. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Okay. And everybody have a good weekend.
Good night, all.